Imagine how much money you'd make if you lived with more energy. The universe gives you exactly what you need when you need it.
So for the average person, how much steps should they take?
It would have been, I want to be a professional footballer for Manchester United.
Can I get a six-pack?
What is the one thing that prevents people from being consistent with their health?
What is the best investment someone can now make in their body today?
You need to upgrade your environment. Find people who are healthier than you.
All right, we're here with another podcast with a special guest right here. His name is Kirk. It's a pleasure to have you here.
It's an absolute pleasure to be on, Hamid. Thank you.
So for the audience who don't know you yet, Who is Kirk Miller?
Who is Kirk Miller? I'll try and keep this as brief as I possibly can, and I'm sure by the end of this podcast, you will maybe make your own assumption of who Kirk Miller is by the end of the podcast, but I'm an entrepreneur based in Dubai, high-performance coach, and founder of a brand, a coaching service called Built to Last, where we pride ourselves on creating lasting change. But yeah, I've been in Dubai now for around 3.5 years. We originate from a small town in Coventry, humble beginnings. Also spent a lot of time in London as well. But here, been based in Dubai now for 3.5 years. And yeah, it's been fantastic.
So 3.5 years you've been in Dubai so far?
Yes, yes. If you'd have said to me, full transparency, Hamid, would I've ever seen myself living in Dubai many years ago, I didn't see that happening. But I remember we came during COVID for a couple of weeks. That turned into 4 months, and I just felt at home straight away. And I just seen the speed, the safety, and look, I'm sure we'll talk about this today. But it all comes down to your values and who you like to be around, what you're interested in. And I just love the energy here and the ambition and just being around like-minded people.
I'm glad you love it. We'll talk more about Dubai, but yeah, I want to go back a little bit in the past.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? You talked about becoming a fitness entrepreneur, or now you're a fitness entrepreneur. What was the defining moment that made you go into fitness?
I mean, fitness has always been a large part of my life. I mean, my background, Hamid, and for the listeners who don't know me, my dream is to be a professional footballer. At the age of 4, 5, picture the scene, your dad puts on the Manchester United kit. And this is when they were a good team back then, and they're struggling just now, right? But he puts on the Manchester United kit and puts a ball at your feet. And so many of my early memories were kicking a ball against a wall and then playing for certain football teams. So simply put, I was obsessed with sport and exercise from a very young age. And
your dad was basically training you to become a football player.
Yeah, I suppose so. Look, my dad, he was a working class background. He would kick a ball with me whenever I could, but I was just obsessed, you know, from the age of 4, 5, 6, 7, when I could talk, walk, and I was aware of life. If you'd have said to me, what do you want to do and who do you want to be? It would have been, I want to be a professional footballer for Manchester United. And I got picked up by Coventry City. That was like my local team, and they're in the Championship now, but they're in the Premiership back then. And so the first dream was going super smooth, right? I'm picked up by Coventry. I was there from the age of 10 to 20, very quickly progressed as like captain and things like that. And then at the age of 20, I get told in a 30-second conversation by Gary McAllister, very famous ex-professional footballer, that unfortunately your services are no longer required at Coventry City. And then I'm faced, Hamid, with what do? You'd attach your whole identity to being a footballer. And it was what I did, not who I was. Got released. Then you question, who am I? What do I do? And the obvious thing back then, and this will come full circle to your question, would have been, knowing what I know now, get into coaching, get into personal training, if I wasn't going to continue to pursue being a footballer. But that was too obvious. And I think the rejection of being told I wasn't good enough by Coventry, and that was the first time in my life I got categorically told, you are not good enough. And even though I might have been confident on the front end, internally I was I was a mess. The insecurity and things like that was terrible. Retrained as a gas engineer, a plumber, did that for around 5 or 6 years.
Got locked. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Five or
6 years, yeah. So for anyone listening to this, honestly, like, I want to add as much value as I possibly can today. But if you look at any of my content and like, please don't judge me and think, oh, this is just a normal guy. It's based around physique. Like, I'm obsessed with long-term behavior change internally and externally for a reason, because from the age of 20 to 26, Hamid, I had the six pack still, because the only area of control I had in my life was in the gym. Like, I was so insecure, and I didn't like the plumbing job. I'd replaced it football for plumbing, and I wasn't on this earth with the greatest respect to be a plumber. So even though I was in shape from the age of 20 to 26, you know, I was lacking purpose. I was lacking direction. I'd changed my environment, which I want to unpack today as well, and the importance of that. And I'm thinking, where am I going? Because when you're not happy with what you do or who you are, you end up doing stupid stuff. So I had reactive behavior patterns at the weekend, drinking lots, things like that. And then at the age of 26, my friend Sonia, she puts the men's, you know, the men's health magazine, she puts it in front of me. And she said, "Cook, they do a competition. I think you should enter it." So I entered the men's health competition. It was a 250-word write-up, and you had to submit three pictures. I was that lazy and despondent in life that, and I thought, well, I'm not going to win it, so why would I even enter it? But she entered it for me.
So you didn't even enter yourself?
No, I didn't, Hamid, honestly. So that's where, like, if you're going to listen to this today and think, anyone listening is going to think, this man is obsessed, he's driven, he's the high performer of high performer. I'd like to think so anyway. But I certainly wasn't back then. So this is why I'm so passionate about shifting people's belief and mindset, because I think that's what holds so many people back. Because I knew it held me back. One, when I turned down Manchester United at Coventry, when I was at Coventry at 13. Two, when I was training with the first team just before I got released, there was a part of me that didn't quite believe I was good enough. And then that third moment in life where you got a couple of choices here of, are you going to believe in yourself, or are you going to let fear and a lack of belief control you? That's what was happening for many years. And when my friend put me forward for the men's health competition, I actually made the final in 2009. I missed a phone call, right? Because I was fitting a toilet in the job that I didn't like. Right? I was on my hands and knees in someone's house, fitting a toilet. I missed a phone call. So I picked my phone up and I didn't recognize this number, but I received a voicemail. It was from, I still remember her name, Claire Matthews. She says in this voice note, "Hey Kurt, this is Claire Matthews from Men's Health, and I'm delighted to tell you you've made the Men's Health final. Can you give us a call back?" Now, don't ask me why I didn't call back, but I just assumed they'd call me back. That's how, like, lazy and despondent in life I was. And this centers around lacking purpose and internal drive at that time. And I called them back a week later because I'd not heard from them. And I call her back. She said, "Hey, it's Claire." I said, "Hey, Claire, it's Kirk Miller. I've made the men's health final. I'm just calling back up, you know." She said, "Kirk, I'm so sorry, but we've had to give your place to somebody else."
That must have been a terrible feeling right there.
They only give people 12 days notice, because men's health back then, they didn't want a bodybuilder who'd done a 12-week prep to look good on the front cover. They wanted the everyday guy with a normal job like me as a plumber. And so you can imagine, I'm absolutely devastated, you know, especially when you're lost in life, not enjoying your job. And there's not too many things in my life I was emotionally content with.
And there you go. You lost an opportunity.
I did. However, the universe gives you exactly what you need when you need it. And I truly believe, because I wasn't being authentic but to myself, I wasn't living in accordance to my true values, and I didn't do the inner work. That's why the universe gave me that lesson. So what did I do? The following year, I keep doing the training, still doing the plumbing job, but I started working on my mind. I started reading books like The Secret, doing some personal development work. And instead of playing the victim and focusing on what I didn't have or what happened in the past, I started focusing on what I did want and started being a lot more positive with my language.
You shifted the mindset.
Yeah. I started to shift my beliefs and my language patterns onto what I wanted, because remember, your words shape your reality. They shape your habits, and ultimately your identity and who you become is a byproduct of your habits, right? So fast forward another year, same friend says to me, Kurt, I've got this competition again. I think you should go for it again. I'm like, they're not going to pick me again. You know, 2 years on the bounce, thousands of men enter it. She submitted the pictures again. She did the write-up again. And very long story short, I receive a phone call a few months later, and thankfully I picked it up. I pick it up whilst being in the plumbing van. I'm literally hungover from the weekend again. And I receive this phone call. I answer it. Hey, Kirk, it's Claire Matthews again.
Again.
I'm like, did you call me last year? She said, yes. And I said, wow, I certainly wasn't expecting this after missing the phone call last year. She said, no, we really like the look of your body. We think you've got a good look. And you know what? I don't know what it was, Hamid. I knew in my heart I was going to win. I can't explain it. It was like a weird feeling in my stomach. And I've only had those moments. And I don't know if anyone listening to this has had those moments where you just feel this surge of energy through you. And it's that moment in your life that you just have to be brave and believe that something good's about to happen.
And make it happen.
Exactly. And when I went to the shoot, you know what I said to myself before I did that shoot? Because I think had I done it the previous year, I'd have made it a bigger deal. I'd have maybe tried to act a certain way based on what the men's health team would have wanted to see. But I just sort of said to myself, and this has stood me in good stead since, I'm just going to be 100% authentically me. And if I win, I win. If I don't, I don't. But at least I have no regrets. And that's a message to anyone. If you are 100% authentically you, and you try and add value in whatever you do, you'll achieve the outcomes that are exactly right for you in that given moment. So I went to did the shoot. There were 7 people there, and I just was 100% authentically me. They did the pictures, and also they did an interview. And I could listen, nothing against some of the other boys who did the competition, but I could listen to some of their interviews. And when they were asked, oh, so what do you do outside of the gym to have fun, relax? They were saying things like, I have some grapes, I have some dark chocolate, I have my Men's Health magazine when I'm in the gym. I thought, you're telling lies, where I was just so authentic. I just said, look, when I train, and when I relax, I'm not perfect, but I try and live a normal life as well as be in shape. And thankfully I won it. Now, coming full circle to your question, but the reason my story is important, this is why I'm so obsessed in making sure that people are aware of not just the things you need to do to look after yourself physically, but mentally, emotionally. Because if you've got a gap in where you want to be physically versus where you are physically, or where you want to be emotionally versus where you actually are, it will show up. And you can't achieve physical consistency without emotional consistency. So after I won that men's health competition in 2010, that was my cue and my moment in relation to your question, where this is the moment where you've got to follow your heart and follow your passion, where that thing you keep saying you should do needs to become a must do. And I quit my job with 5 hours personal training. So I retrained as a personal trainer. I quit my job with 5 hours personal training. I had no savings. I didn't even have a car at the time because I was using my company plumbing vehicle to get around. And I wasn't driving too much at the weekend because I was drinking. So it was a massive risk, huge risk. But I was 26, 27. I thought, if I don't do something different and be brave and follow my heart and take a risk, my life isn't going to look any different. So I had 5 hours personal training. I just thought, if I can help people, these 5 clients that I had, I think it was even 5 hours, not even five clients. It was 5 hours of personal training. Literally, I thought, if I can pay my bills and I can buy food and I can go to the gym. And
just to survive.
Yeah, exactly. And what happened? When you follow your passion, you work hard and you're authentic. Got busy quick. My diary was full within a couple of weeks. And very quickly from there became the big fish in a small pond in Coventry. Built a great reputation, got some great results, and upskilled myself. During that same time, I had a lot of exposure with men's health, men's fitness. Of course, I was on lots of covers, record covers on men's fitness, I think at the time. Was speaking at exhibitions, picked up sponsorship with brands like Grenade, then moved on to MyProtein down the line and traveled the world. And that obviously helped build reputation, but it doesn't make you a good coach. So I had to do lots of work on different courses, not just the physical side of things, because the minimum requirement for any personal trainer or online coach, which I've evolved to, of course, is you understand training, nutrition, water, sleep, lifestyle habits, okay? But I don't believe that's enough to create lasting change. And that's why, full circle to here, where I'm at now, you know, what we do, we're built to last. It goes far beyond helping someone look good. And it's all about lasting change. And in order to create lasting change, certainly as an entrepreneur who's got lifestyle challenges, you've got business to run, family to think about, and maybe so many limiting beliefs from the past that you need to unpack and solve and find a solution for, you need a bit more to your armor to create long-term behavior change. And so I've just worked very, very hard the last sort of 15 years to be a glamorized motivator in the gym, where you can help someone get two more reps, to then learning what it actually takes to shift someone's beliefs the way I couldn't back then.
To shift the people's beliefs in order to shift their physique.
Yeah, because 100%, because like, this is why the 12-week transformation model is flawed.
So what about in terms of entrepreneurs? You're focusing specifically on entrepreneurs, helping them develop their physique?
It's not just the physique. I want to change how the entrepreneurs and high performers see themselves, feel about themselves. Because until that entrepreneur can look himself in the mirror and say, I am a healthy person, I am a healthy high performer, I am someone who eats healthy, I am someone who trains hard, I am someone who is consistent, you're on borrowed progress. Because if it was just about the physique and surface level habits and surface level goals, why aren't millions of more entrepreneurs and high performers in shape? There's so many high performers out of shape because they focus solely on surface level, short term, quick fix goals that do not last. All you've got evidence of over a 12-week period, and there's no judgment on this, by the way, because I've been very transparent about my flaws. That's why I wanted to share my story about being an absolute car crash with habits hammered during certain periods of my life. But the short-term solution doesn't work. In 12 weeks, all you've demonstrated, maybe if you drop weight across that period, or maybe you've seen some physical progress, is that you can stick to a diet plan, perhaps you can track your calories, perhaps you've got some steps in, you've got some sessions in, you've maybe had restrictions that you could stick to for 12 weeks. But if after that period, you cannot sustain it. You cannot sustain it, or you cannot wait to be off it and overeat, drink, or both, whatever your thing is as good as broken. So the
idea, lifestyle choice.
It has to be
continue for long term.
I couldn't agree more. It has to be who you are, how you see yourself, and how you actually live, which is one thing we focus on is within Built to Last, is everything we're asking a client to do from a habit perspective, behavior perspective, is it complementary to that person's lifestyle?
What is the biggest mistake you find busy entrepreneurs making, specifically regarding their health?
The biggest mistake there's lots of mistakes, so I'm just trying to go, what is the one thing that prevents people from being consistent with their health? I think there's two.
Discipline.
No. Discipline, that's a trait. But I think there's a couple of things that can help you live with more discipline. One, reminding yourself on a daily basis, what is the emotional driving force behind you being healthy? If you are aware of the why, and who needs you healthy, who needs you fit, who needs you energized, who needs you on this earth, strong and vibrant, you'll find the discipline. Secondly, your environment. The company, you are the company you keep.
And so I'm sure the average over the
five. There's so many great quotes. And I think one of my favorite ones is from James Clear, the founder of, the writer of Atomic Habits. And that is, your environment is the invisible hand that shapes your behavior. And ultimately, if you're trying to be a healthier person, it's going to come down to how you behave and what you do, not what you say you'll do. Okay. And there are so many temptations in life these days. Negative influences, absolutely, who don't have the same values as you. So the biggest mistake I feel people make, especially if you're someone listening to this who's made progress short term but can't understand why you fall backwards, or you just know you're underperforming in some way and you want to go to another level with how you look, how you feel, then the likelihood is you need to upgrade your environment. Find people who are healthier than you or have the health habits that you want to embody within you, have the lifestyle that you have the traits that you have, because ultimately everything comes down to identity. Who are you trying to become? What future would you love to live with? And are your habits aligned to that future and the person you're trying to become? And if you get resistance with that, evaluate your immediate circle right now. Who do you spend time with on a day-to-day basis? What places do you go to? Are they moving you towards or further away from the person you're trying to become, the body you want, and the life you want?
But it's like, I would say it's like looking at a book. Is this book going to get me closer to my goal or not? It includes a lot of different chapters of different people, different behaviors. Is this the type of behaviors, the type of people, the type of things that I want in my life?
Mm-hmm.
If it's not, you put the book back in the shelf.
Yeah.
You find a book that really resembles with what you're looking for.
Yeah. I mean, also as well, I mean, this seems so obvious. I don't know why I didn't say this when you asked the question, but the why and the environment are crucial. But if I see just from a logical standpoint, what do I feel is a consistent pattern that I notice within entrepreneurs, certainly in Dubai and London and major cities? And this person is trying to be a healthier person or have more agency on their habits to become a healthier person. If I was to look at the calendar, which is made up of certain priorities, because ultimately your priorities aren't what you say they are, they're revealed by how you live. And for many entrepreneurs, how you actually want to live and what your priorities are going to be revealed within your calendar. So for a lot of people who are consistently struggling to get and stay in shape or self-sabotaging in some way, it's because their calendar is totally dominated by work commitments, social occasions with clients. Certainly in Dubai, there's zero judgment, but this is just a fact. So many people are out of shape and lacking energy and have reactive behavior patterns in Dubai and London, major cities. It's because their calendar is just absolutely dominated by work.
So someone like me, I'm very busy. I work 13, maybe sometimes 14 hours a day.
I understand.
How I usually put time to go to the gym. But let's say for someone who's not like this sort of situation, they're a very busy person. What would be the most optimal time for them to actually go exercise and at the same time be able to do their work?
Look, I can share what I've noticed with entrepreneurs who do like you, and maybe the people listening to this have extremely work long hours. They've got a lot of commitments, a lot of people to lead, people to manage, whilst factoring in family and relationships and things like that. I could share with you that I'd say 95% of our clients generally train first thing in the morning.
What time?
It could be anywhere from 5, it could be 6. I mean, it doesn't really matter, really. It depends on what time the person goes to bed, what time they start work. But most of our built to last clients, they train first thing in the morning. Why do they do that? Because many people, if they try and train later on, it's in the middle of work. They've got kids maybe as well that are vying for their attention. But I would say the best time to train for you is when you are more likely to keep doing it and more likely to be motivated to train at that time. And from my vast array of audits that we've done within Built to Last, even for the highest of high performers in business, most people's willpower at the end of the day is gone. It doesn't matter how much of a high performer you are. Even me, I do not like training late. I'll have to do it sometimes on certain occasions. But if you are struggling to establish the habit of training consistently, look at your calendar and go, where can I put that in my calendar? Maybe 3 times a week for 20 to 30 minutes where I can establish the habit. I've got least resistance and I'm more likely to follow through on what I said I would do. But I think the first step is identifying, if you work long hours like you, like me, like many of our clients, I'm going to be brutally honest, it's like a broken record. If you can't find 3 or even 2 20 to 30 minute slots in your week to train a couple of mornings a week or at any time across your 168 hours, it's simply not a priority.
Exactly.
It's simply not a priority.
You don't need it. You want it. You just want it.
Yeah. And I don't want to force my values or weigh on anybody. But if you're listening to this and you know that you deep down want to value health because it's going to help you perform better in business, you're going to be a better role model for your children, and you're going to be a happier you for your relationship, find the time, or at some point it's going to cost you in that relationship, in work. And many people, and this is going to come across as very straight talking, many people would say, I would do absolutely anything for my children, but would you be healthy? Yes, you might be able to work 13 hours a day and build up a monumental bank balance. But if that is costing you energy, emotional fatigue, physical fatigue, and then the people you love are feeling that and not getting the best of you, what's all this money worth if you can't actually be an emotionally content person for the people you're supposedly doing it for? But it's a big, big challenge that I see across the board. And look, if this is you, there's no judgment, but you can fix this, but just start small. Like, if you're not training, how can you look at your calendar and go, how can I schedule 2, not even 3, 20 to 30 minute workouts, make it as easy as possible to do it? Like, for example, because our clients, like you, they work long hours and they've got a lot of people to lead, manage, and they've got their family, blah, blah, blah. Many of them will work out from home just with dumbbells and bench. You want to remove as much emotional resistance and physical logic.
Just make it happen.
Yeah.
No matter where you are, just go in and make it happen.
Exactly. How can I make it easy? Yes. And for many people, train from home. And that will be the first start. But if I always say this to our clients, and we've got frameworks. And for anyone listening to this, if you would like a framework, literally a question framework, which will help you go into your week really knowing, when am I going to train? When am I going to move? What am I going to eat? Where am I going to eat? So you can forward plan as best you can around work, then I've got that. Even on, if you're not a weekly planner, okay, some people are not, on a daily framework, you can do that. But very simply put, don't go into a work week without knowing around that work week, when I'm going to train, when am I going to move, factor in some steps, whether it's long walks, mini walks, so you can create more predictability. And the good news is you're already doing this in business. You forward plan your meetings, you forward plan your sales
course. Everything is set up in a way. Scheduled.
Yeah. Exactly. So you've already got evidence you can do it. Apply the same logic with your health and fitness. And if you're thinking,
you could treat it like a business.
100%. You just got to schedule
it. It's a business. You want to make it grow. You want to make it better. You want to make it faster.
Yeah. And look, the reason we have no trouble doing this as a business owner when it comes to a work appointment or a sales meeting or sales presentation or something, whatever it is that's going to make money or build a great business, you understand the value on it, which comes down to what I said a few moments ago, Hamid. When you are scheduling your workout, when you're scheduling your walks, and when you are trying to forward plan your food, if that's important to you and you want to be healthy and not overweight, stack as much emotional value as possible. By doing this, how will this improve the quality of my life and maybe my work performance and my relationships?
So is this like a one mental hack that people can do to push beyond those excuses they have?
Yeah. So if you are someone who keeps saying, I'm going to train this week, but not doing it, when you schedule the training sessions in, like your work appointment, ask yourself, why is this important and how will this benefit my life or work week that week? A lot of people, the reason they don't follow through is they haven't put enough value on it. The reason they show up to the work meetings and they show up to the sales course or whatever it is, they know the value on that. There's a return on investment. And I think if we can create enough meaning and return on investment of that behavior or that habit, i.e. even with food, if you keep saying you're going to eat healthy, but you don't, look at what you're putting in your mouth and say, is this an investment or a cost in the energy I want, the body I want, the body shape, the body weight, more importantly, the person I want to show up as. So you've got to layer the value.
What about in terms of advice? What is the worst advice that you hear in the fitness industry
now? Lazy advice for an entrepreneur is saying, just stick to a diet plan. Doesn't work.
So it's just sticking to a diet plan, you're not eating right?
It's just lazy. Listen, if you're an entrepreneur or high performer, listen to this, you'll understand that your work week can change at the drop of a hat. There can be last minute curveballs all the time. And if you're anything like our clients, you eat out regularly, you travel regularly, you live out of hotels sometimes, and you've just got last minute curveballs that throw your agenda up in the air. So lazy advice is just saying, stick to your diet plan, just get your steps in. You need to have a minimum non-negotiable set of standards across your habits, across training, food, walking, sleep, water. They're called your core drivers. You're going to have days and weeks where you can get all your sessions in. You're going to have days and weeks where you can eat really well. You're going to have days and weeks where you can stick to a diet plan. But from my understanding, and we've been working with entrepreneurs and business owners for a hell of a long time, there's just so many things that can go wrong. And if someone is trying to get a grip on their food, which I think we'd agree is universally one of the most common challenges for people, is it's just my food. I'm overweight. Many people are moving, many people are training, but they're still overweight or they're not progressing. And often it's down to food. And I genuinely think that is because we're trying to use outdated systems, which for many people is a diet plan that worked in their 20s, but doesn't work now. When you're in your late 30s, 40s and 50s, and you've got a business to run, family to think about, kids to entertain, and you've got social occasions, business meetings, trying to have a fixed meal plan and just be too rigid with your food doesn't work. So what do we do in Built to Last is we help forward plan people's menu choices when they're eating out regularly. Like, I've got private clients, for example, Hamid, that eat out twice a day, every day. That's 14 times a week. That's over 50 times a month. So lazy advice is saying to that busy business owner, just stick to your calories and get.
So what's the solution?
The solution is, from a logical standpoint, if however you manage your food, you need to have an understanding of, right, what am I currently doing? What is my current intake? What is my current standard? Okay. So for example, with yourself, Hamid, I'm curious, how do you manage your food?
I try to just based on good question right there. No, but you got to be there.
I'd rather use a live example.
I usually eat three meals a day, and I try to as much as focus on getting a lot more protein intake than any other source. I'll try to balance out the carbs in the morning and maybe in the afternoon, but by night, I'll try to avoid as much as possible by eating volumes of vegetables. And that's what I try to do, vegetables and protein. I just focus my goal in getting as much protein intake more than anything else.
Yeah,
that's my goal. Now, that might be not the right strategy, but I'm just saying that this is how I've been doing it. I'm being upfront.
Yeah, yeah. No, listen, I appreciate the transparency. Look, whether you are currently tracking your calories or trying to track your calories, whether you tried a meal plan but it doesn't work, whether you are someone like me who eats off delivery or eats out regularly, eats on the go, I just think if you said to me, right, what are the three things that you need to focus on if you never track your calories, didn't want to follow a meal plan, just to at least establish a bit more agency on some positive inputs that you're putting in your mouth, and you're not on the wrong path, by the way, okay? Every time you eat, certainly as a man, eat 2 pounds of protein.
Two pounds.
If you're even 3 meals a day, can you have 2 pounds of protein? I could get granular and say, can you eat 1 gram of protein per 1 pound of body weight? For many people, that's overwhelming. It's like, I've got to track my calories to do that. But if every time you eat, you can have 2 pounds of protein, you're going to more or less hit your protein target by the end of the day.
2 pounds is
one pound of protein per 1 pound of your body weight.
Okay.
So for example, I'm 170 pounds. I want to eat roughly 170.
So 175 grams of protein.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're 150 pounds, eat roughly 150 grams of protein. If you're 170, 170. But just trying to simplify even more than that is every time you eat a substantial amount of protein, which you're doing, make sure that your food is, I mean, I've got high bar with this because I know the impact it has on my energy. Eat real food. Eat at least 90% of whatever is on your plate. Eat 90% of it as real food.
The less processed, the better.
100%, and minimize refined sugar. I genuinely believe that if there was more awareness on the damage, not just to our weight, but to our energy, to our mood, to diseases of refined sugar and processed food, there'd be less need for drugs. There'd be less need for so many diseases, i.e. diabetes, that is through the roof right now. So however you manage your food right now, if you're struggling with this and you're overweight, you're out of shape, you're lacking energy, try it and just focus on improving your habits around eating more protein, making sure the majority of your food is real food, and trying to minimize refined sugar. A much more logical way than that, right? Because some people might go, yeah, but I don't know what that is. Okay. You're going to have food that you are currently consuming on a week-to-week basis. One of the most simplistic things you can do at the end of each week, if your goal, I'll just use an example, is to lose weight or drop fat or have more energy. At the end of each week, look back at the previous 7 days and ask yourself, are the foods that I've eaten the past 7 days helping my weight, helping my shape, helping my energy? And if the answer is no, and for example, you're not losing weight and you're feeling like you're putting on weight or you're just struggling, look back at the last 7 days and imagine you put everything you put in your mouth on a table and you had a bird's eye view, and then think, which food, snack, both, or maybe drink is taking up way too many calories for minimal food volume or drink volume, if it's a drink.
The thing is, a lot of people, despite that they know that this is a bad food, they'll still have the temptation to go for it.
Yes, they will, because it's easy. But if someone wants to make a change, and again, this is not going to, you're probably tapped out already on this podcast if you're not interested in this, but if you're still with me and you still want to drop weights and you want to have more energy, then obviously it's important to you. Okay. And if it's important to you, then you need to have an awareness of what you're putting in your mouth to make a change.
Do you have to permanently remove it? Or can it be like, you remember, there are a lot of people that say, okay, you can have a cheat meal once.
I don't like the word cheat meal because it's negative. Again, it comes down to, again, I know The Rock, right? Dwayne Johnson's a legend, right? But this cheat meal nonsense, I used to use that back in the day. I don't like it.
So what do you call it?
I just don't. It's just how you eat. And just, I look at my week, the averages across each day. And if I want a burger, I'll have a burger. But ultimately, everyone has an expectation of how they want to look, how they want to feel about how they look. And most people have an average body weight, give or take, that they want to operate from. Mm-hmm. Would you agree? And I would use that as my KPIs. At the end of each week, evaluate how I look, how I feel about how I look, and what is your body weight? I weigh myself every day and I encourage people to do the same. If you don't want to be overweight, measure it. You do it in business, right? You measure your numbers. And don't get too attached to the scales. But if you can look at your body weight, look at how you look, right, and see, am I happy? Am I happy with my body weight? And am I happy with how I feel? The answer is no. Can you look at what you've done the previous 7 days and ask yourself, have I moved enough? Which foods have slowed me down in pursuit of the body I want, the shape I want, and how I want to feel? And then fast forward the next 7 days, what simple changes can you make to improve on the week before? So very simply put, how can we be better than the week before? But you're only going to know that if you're like evaluating your inputs. So that can be tracking calories. Many of our clients do it. But a lot of people don't know how to track calories accurately. So I encourage you to take pictures of the food you're tracking and try and get more granular on, is that actually accurate? It doesn't have to be forever. But if you're trying to get more agency and awareness with food, track your calories and take pictures and work out, is that accurate?
How do you know how many calories you need on a daily basis?
It depends on your goal. But again, you need some form of data. So what I would say, well, what we do with our clients yes, we give them an example meal plan when they start, just as a guidance, just show this is how much food you can have, say, for example, on 2000 calories. And we would give them a recommended average daily step target. They've got their workouts.
So you have to also take steps every day.
Yeah, because it's any coach who says they can give you a solid guesstimate of exactly how many calories you need, whether your goal is to drop weight, maintain it, or put on weight if you're trying to build muscle. Any coach who says they can do that without knowing what your movement in, as in your average daily steps and your training stimulus on top, is telling lies. Because there's two of you, Hamid. Okay, there's two of you. And I say to you, right, I think to get leaner, you're on 2,200 calories. Okay, there's a twin of you. 2,200 calories. You've got one Hamid who moves an average of 6,000 steps a day. Then you've got your twin who moves 12,000 steps a day average. You both train the same, but one moves 6,000 steps a day, the other 12,000. Who's burning more energy out?
Of course, the one with the 12,000 steps.
Okay, so the calorie threshold for the Hamid who's moving 12,000 steps a day is going to be higher while still losing body fat and body weight, because you're moving more, so you require more energy. Simply put, you have you've earned the right to be able to handle more calories because you're moving more. So I encourage anyone who loves food or is a foodie, right? The amount of times I've heard that. How can you optimize your movement out as much as you possibly can? Because you are going to sustain your weight and have a much more pleasurable journey of getting and staying in shape and live with more energy if you move more.
So for the average person, how much steps should they take?
Yeah. So if someone is overweight right now and you're trying to make a dent in that, at a reasonable rate. And I wouldn't encourage for someone to be too aggressive with this, because as I've said throughout this episode, usually when someone tries to change too fast, they'll rebound because their emotional identity hasn't caught up with the physical changes. But we've got lots of data. If your steps are downwards of 8,000 average a day, you're going to find it very, very hard to drop weight and drop fat very quick.
So it's not only the combination of strength training and diet, but also you have to include the steps in order to...
Yeah, that's the most important. That's the most important. Training stimulus is going to sculpt the body and give you those nice muscles and give you that strength and connective tissue and all the other benefits of muscle mass that muscle mass has on longevity. But that's changing your body shape, okay, and sculpting the body and protecting you about keeping strong bones, etc., long term. But if someone is looking to simply lower their body weight, feel good, because remember, movement shifts mood, steps are the most important metric in terms of an energy out KPI that you should be focusing on.
Interesting. Now, when I look into my steps, I rather than focus on getting a certain number of steps, maybe doing it a treadmill, increasing the incline up to the last, and maybe having a speed of 5. Does that count as similar as taking steps and walking in the mall and just for 10,000 steps?
Again, it comes down to, it's not linear. Is that method complementary to your lifestyle, as opposed to me saying to you, just get 10,000 steps and walk outside for 90 minutes? How many entrepreneurs can actually do that?
That's the thing.
They can't. So you've just got to look at your day and think, okay, at the start of the day, what is going to be the smoothest, most complementary way to my day around my appointments and whatever else I've got on to hit my relevant step target? And the thing is, like me and you and many people listen to this, you're going to have some days where you simply can't get your steps in as easily, right?
True.
Because there's a lot on. But look at everything across the week, not days. Look at the days in your week where you know you can easily walk more. Right.
But does that mean that you're connecting to the calories that you're burning?
It's all about your averages. It's all about your averages. It's like, the average of what you do, not what you do every now and then. So you could manage your calories perfectly for 3 days, get your steps in perfectly for 3 days, but then the other 4 days are absolutely horrendous. Then that might throw everything off. So try and look at things on a weekly basis and your daily averages, as opposed to trying to be perfect every day. Certainly as an entrepreneur, it just doesn't work. Okay, so look at the days in your week. And this is why I think at the end of a week, evaluating your previous 7 days, just like you were doing business, and then look at your calendar the next 7 days and go, based on what I did the last 7 days, do I need to move more or the same? Do I need to eat less or the same, or eat more depending on my goal? Basically, what metrics, what inputs do I need to change to move me forward to my expectations the following week? And you're going to have days where you can move more, days where you can't move as much. You're going to have days where you want to eat more, and there's days where you want to, or you know you can eat a little bit less. So it's looking at your, let me just do it high level to really simplify, right, and summarize for people listening to this. How you look, the energy you have, the shape you have, the confidence, etc., is going to be down, as I've said, to what you do on a weekly basis, okay? So I would go through these things when you're forward planning your calendar. Firstly, your movement. If you're trying to get 70,000 steps in your week, what days can you move more, i.e. move 12 to 15,000 potentially? If you can't get 10,000 every day in, what days can you move more? What days can you move less? But how can you make sure that no matter which way you do it, whether it's through long walks, mini walks, 5 minute walks in between meetings, whatever it is, that you can accumulate your 70,000 target by the end of the week? Mm. If that's the number that you're aiming for. Right?
So if I do this,
yep,
and I follow strict of leaning out and removing all the processed food, and I strength training maybe for 3 to 4 days, can I get a six pack?
You can, yeah. If you want a six pack and that's important to you and your inputs are moving you towards that, then you can. Anyone could get a six pack. I've had 40, 50, 60 year old men who've never had a six pack. They're not coming to me to get a six pack, but when you get control of your habits and you make sure they're complementary to your work week, your social week, then by default, the outcome of the six pack take care of itself if you drop in body fat, right? But just go back to what I said. At the end of the week, forward plan your steps as best you can. Your food, look at the days that you want to eat more. Look at the days you don't mind having a bit of a less calories. Now, for many entrepreneurs listening to this, they'll want to eat more food on a Friday, a Saturday, and a Sunday. This is you. And for example, you've got an average calories of 2,000 that's going to help drop body weight and drop body fat for you. You might find that you want to eat 2,400 or 2,500 calories a day on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but then just eat a little bit less on the other days, because again, it all comes down to averages, right? But look at your average of your training stimulus, look at your average of your steps, look at your average of your food intake, your food quality, and then the other two core drivers are your water and your sleep.
Wonderful advice. Now, I got two more questions before we end the podcast. What is the best investment someone can now make in their body today?
What's the best investment someone can...
Can someone make in their body today?
I mean, the best investment that someone can make if they're trying to improve their body is identifying the Achilles heel that's currently holding them back from building a great body. So first of all, you need to identify what is the number one barrier right now that's preventing you from having the health and having the body you want? That's going to be different for each person. But if you're not currently investing into your health and into your body, I think even more importantly than that, Hamid, the best investment you can make before you start searching for the plan, searching for the best supplement and all that stuff, the best investment you need to make is time with a pen and paper, and evaluate right now, what is it costing you, right? We talk about investment. What is it costing you not having the health and the body you want? And list as many reasons as possible. Many entrepreneurs and business owners who are currently out of shape or don't have a physical identity that is aligned to how they'd love to have, they need to identify the real cost of that not being fat. So for many people, that is going to be, it's costing them in their relationship. If they're not happy with their physical shape, their weight, I can guarantee that is showing up in their mood, maybe more intrusively than that, the bedroom. This might hit hard, but you need to dig deep on what is it costing you and who else is it impacting. For example, if you've got children and you're thinking, yeah, I don't really want to invest in my health and fitness, whether it's time, money, effort. If you want your kids to grow up healthy, energized and confident, because let's be real here, if your kids are overweight, that's going to affect their confidence. They're likely to get bullied at some point, or it's going to cost them somewhere. Get real with how that actually makes you feel. Because if you've got children, your kids are going to mirror everything you do. Not what you say, they're going to mirror what you do. And they might be looking at you right now and as really successful, and our daddies can do this, you know, we can buy this, we can do that. And you're a great role model in that area. But can you be a better role model with your health, fitness and body? If you want your kids to grow up in shape, you need to be in shape. If you want your kids to be healthy and eat good food and move regularly, they need to see you doing it.
I definitely agree that the parents are the role model for their kids.
Yeah, and a lot of parents, I'm about to become a parent, right? So I'm sure, look, I'll have many lessons as a father. But my number one goal this year is to be the healthiest partner and parent possible, right? Because, yes, do I want my little one to grow up and be successful, make loads of money and live with freedom? Absolutely. But above all else, I want my child to be healthy and confident, because if the child isn't healthy and confident, that's going to hold back their fears, their dreams. And like I said at the start, in relation to my story, it's going to affect that person's beliefs about what they can become. So I think the best investment you can do as an entrepreneur, listen to this, if you're not where you want to be, is take time to evaluate, what is it costing me not investing in my health, my energy?
Wonderful.
Who is it impacting? What is it preventing? If you're a successful business owner, amazing, you're making lots of money, great. Imagine how much more money you'd make if you live with more energy.
I see that personally with myself, for sure. And the health and the business, they work together in synergy.
Yeah, 100%. So just to end on this, I think one of them, like I've done this exercise with clients over and over again, right? Because I know I've covered a lot and we veered off here and there, right? One of the best things you can do after this podcast, if you're not where you want to be, is get a piece of paper and write down your 5 top values. What do you value? I mean, really value. Who do you value? Right? Write them down. Then write another list, 5 sentences, using the words I am at the start of each sentence. Write the words I am in capitals and finish those sentences and describe you. Who are you? Outside of your business status, right? Many people, I am an entrepreneur. Okay, that's great. Park that. But who are you after that? When you can identify what your values are, who you actually are, or maybe even deeper than that, who you'd love to be. So on those I am sentences, after those I am sentences, right? Who would you love to be if you knew you couldn't fail? Then write the 5 values that really absolutely drive you in life. Then look at your calendar, look at your habits and ask yourself, is my calendar and are my habits aligned to my values, aligned to the dream person that I'm trying to become? If you can do that, I promise you, you are far more likely to implement the habits that are aligned to your values and aligned to your dream identity. And by default, you'll be a healthier person.
Basically, study yourself to better yourself.
It's deep and it's not surface level goal. Like I could have said, search for the best diet plan, search for the best training plan. Look, I've got all that, right? And there's lots of that stuff on the internet. But it all comes down to what do you value? Because that drives us internally. Who are you at your core and who would you love to be? What future are you working towards? And is the person you're currently showing up as and the habits you're currently implementing moving you closer or further away to that life, to that person, and to the values that you say are important to you? You'll find the motivation. You'll find the discipline. I promise you that.
Well, Kirk, I mean, thank you so much for actually being here in podcast. Really appreciate that. And I think there was a lot of valuable advice that the audience can have. Sure, they can follow you in Kirk Miller on Instagram.
Yeah, so Kirk Miller on my Instagram and LinkedIn. Look, I offer as much free value as I possibly can. And yeah, my website is kirkmiller.co.uk. But I've got a podcast which I'd love to get you on at some point as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Trying to add as much value as possible.
So. Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.